would you like to gift me? He said once, twice, thrice, the father did not reply. And finally, the father came out angrily. Mrityave tvam dadamiti. It is like cursing the son to death. It is in Sanskrit, so it does not appear to be like that. But if you convert into our regional language, we will understand what it is. The father was angry and he cursed his son to death. Can there be any greater fall of a father? Such a ritualist who has studied the scriptures, that to a son who has not done anything wrong, who had finally come to save himself from the hell. Such a son, he is cursing to death. By this, the Upanishad says that where greed can take us, where desire and greed can take us, provided they are not purified by the Shastras, by the Shastra Vakyas. When we flout the Shastras in fulfilling our greed, it can take us to the level of cursing our own son to death. Nachiketa's father Vajashravas's character ends there in showing us the calamitous condition a person can be led to by dint of his desire and greed for worldly objects and for otherworldly attainments. He may do hundreds of rituals, but unless his mind is purified, he will not attain the goal. In Yama's instruction, the first verse itself, Yama specifies the same thing. Sarve veda yat padamamananti tapamsi sarvani chajad vadanti yadichanto brahmacharyam charanti tatte padam sangrahena bravimi om etyetat. This is the first lesson, the starting point of Yama's discourse to Nachiketa. He says that all the Vedas, whatever they say, because different Vedas are there, different portions of Vedas are there. Sometimes one portion of the Veda will be contradicting the other portion of the Veda. So naturally a person given to the learning of Vedas will be confused finally. Tapamsi sarvani cha yad vadanti. So many kinds of tapasyas, austerities are there. What for people do? Nobody knows. Some stand in the sun on one leg. Some sit around a fire or with five fires around. Some do upavasa. Some live in the cave. So many kinds of tapasyas are there. So many people practice brahmacharya. For what? People don't know themselves. They get confused. So the first lesson Yamaraja gives to Nachiketa is to remove the confusion from the mind of Nachiketa, telling him that whatever you find in the name of spiritual practice in our country, Sarve Veda Yat Padamamananti, all the Vedas, whatever they speak of, whatever the austerities that tapasyas aim at, whatever brahmacharya aims at, all those are for one single aim. And what is that? Om Ityetat. He is representing it by Om. Om signifies Brahma Vidya, the attainment of the final truth. So, unless our puja, our rituals, or whatever we are doing in the name of religion or spirituality, unless they are able to take us to the Brahma Vidya, which is attained through the purity of the mind, they lose their purpose. They are all, the ultimate aim of all is this Om. That too, he is saying, Sangrahena Bravimi. Sangraha, Samyagraha. That means, it is not only briefly I will state. Sangraha, generally we think as, I will state you briefly. It is not just brief. I will take the essence of all the Shastras, whatever the Vedas have said, whatever the tapasyas mean. I know everything and I will take the essential part of everything and I will give you Nachiketa. You don't have to worry. You don't have to read the thousands and millions of shastras. Shastras are infinite. But when you have come to me, I will give you only the essence of it, with which you can attain the ultimate aim, which all these shastras, all these tapasyas aim at. This is the contribution of the guru. We may read millions of shastras and get confused, but the guru will not ask to read all those shastras. He will give us the essential sadhana, the essential attainment from which the shastras are originated. He will give us the way, he will guide us on the way through which the mind will be purified and the mind will reach its ultimate universal state, from where we can identify ourselves with all the statements of the shastras. If we think of a thumb rule, we start from the ignorance, from the ignorant state, where we think ourselves to be small, limited by our body-mind personality, constricted by our body-mind personality. Whenever we refer to our I as our own self, we refer to our constricted body-mind limited personality. Whereas the Upanishads or even the Bhagavata speaks about the ultimate goal, which is called Brahmatmaikatva Bodha. Brahma, Atma, Ekatva Bodha. Brahman is from which the whole universe has originated, including our own body. And Atma, we think the consciousness within us. Generally, there will be a difference that Atma is the consciousness within us and Brahman is something at the source of the universe. But the Upanishads, through the purificatory process, undergoing the purification of our mind, they make us expand our mind to that universal level where that Brahman and Atma becomes the same. That is called Brahmatmaikatva Bodha. So our journey is from the constriction to the universal expansion, from the Dehatma Bodha, from our constricted idea about ourselves, limited idea of ourselves, to the universal I, where my I and your I and his I, they are not different. There is only one I, that is universal consciousness, which is same as the Brahman. So our goal is from this constriction to the universal expansion. So what can be the sadhana? All of us can find out ourselves. Whatever gives us expansion, whatever makes our mind expanded, that will take us to expansion. That only can take us to the final universal expansion also. So sadhana, that is the sadhana which expands our mind. Whatever constricts our mind, that is going against the sadhana. So we can find ourselves looking into our own mind, whether it is constricting our mind or whether it is expanding our mind. Whatever expands, that is the sadhana. That will take us to the final goal, final universal goal. Whatever constricts our mind, that is take us from the universal goal to the opposite direction. It will not take us to the goal. Now, in the behavior of Vajashravas, we find that he was getting more and more constricted. Although he is doing the ritual which should take him to expansion, but he was not doing it in the proper manner which will give him expansion. By gifting the wrong cows and holding on to the better cows in his own cowshed, what was he doing? He was possessing more and more around his body, around his own bodily existence, oblivious of the expanded nature of his own self. So he was not doing the sadhana, whereas Nachiketa a small boy, he could understand that this is not the right way. This will not give my father the expansion needed. My father will be more and more constricted. And that constriction is called the hell. He will be taken to hell. Truly speaking, the papa is the constriction and punya is expansion. Whatever constricts us is papa. Whatever expands us is punya. And when we understand our brahmatmaikatva, we become universally expanded. That is the final goal. Now, when Nachiketa went to his father and asked him to gift him to the priests, the father got angry and cursed him to death. But Nachiketa still remains composed. Because he was pure-minded, he immediately did not retort back that, oh father, what you are doing is wrong and I wanted to correct you and you are cursing me death. No, he did not have any such approach. He had a humble, a quiet approach. He thought that, okay, my father has said something. Maybe he has cursed in anger and he will repent later. But again, the Shraddha was working in his mind that whatever the father has uttered, that should become true. The same thing in Ramayana, Rama also did. That father had ordered something, I must prove my father to be truthful. Here also Nachiketa said that everybody has upheld truthfulness. So whatever my father has said, I must uphold the truthfulness of the sentence, of his utterance. And so I must walk to Yama. So he started going to the Yamaraja and he reaches his palace. And he was not there. For 3 days, 3 nights he waited. Now we may interpret why did he wait for 3 days, 3 nights in various ways we can interpret. But because we say that this Upanishad is exclusively sadhana oriented, we will say that it shows the qualities of Nachiketa. He had gone to Yamaraja's palace for certain purpose. And going there, even when he had to wait for 3 days and 3 nights, it did not outwit him. Or it did not send him back that, oh, Yamaraja is not there, let me go back. Which most of us will do perhaps. Or Yamaraja has gone somewhere, he is not there at all. Or whether he exists or not, we don't know. Shall I sit here? Oh, one day has passed, one night has passed, I have not got any food. He did not even go around for food or drink or anything. He remained there in Upavasa until Yamaraja came back. So it shows the qualities of a seeker. We should not miss that in the imagery. The imagery is mythological. But what the Shastrakara, the Shruti Mata, wants to point out is that the qualities of a seeker, in Shastric language it is called Sadhana Chatushtaya. I will not go into it. It is Viveka, Vairagya, Shamadamadi, Shadga Sampatti and Mumuksha. So one after another in Kathopanishad they show us the qualities that Nachiketa had, all these qualities. Now when Yamaraja comes back and he offers him 3 boons because he wanted to compensate the austerity of Nachiketa that he had done for 3 days and 3 nights. The first boon he asks for is my father should be all right. Here also he is speaking about the quality of Nachiketa. The father who has cursed him to death, his mind is full of that father. That father must be very worried after cursing me to death. So his mind should be all right. This is the quality of a seeker. We may think that a sannyasi should not bother about anybody in his family. He should not be considerate about his father or mother or sister or brother. It is not at all so. A person who is loving in the family, who is loving in his society, in his group, only can become a loving sannyasin also. A person who cannot love his father and mother and brother, can he love the whole universe? It is farce. Only when a person can love his dear and near ones, there is the question of expanding his love and loving everybody in the world. I don't love my people around and I will become universal, loving the whole universe. Is it ever possible? That is what the Upanishad points out through the behavior of Nachiketa. That he was so loving, so considerate to his father. When the father is doing injustice to him again and again, that does not put him off at all. He is concerned about his father's condition, that his father should be all right. Now, in the third boon and the last boon, Nachiketa asks his question of his life, so to say. He proves that he is a seeker. The question is, Yeyam prete vichikitsa manushya astityeke nayam astiti chayike etad vidyam anushishtastvayaham. He is asking Yamaraja that when the body falls, some people say that he exists, the Atma, there is something called Atma which exists, which survives the body. Some people say that it does not survive, nothing exists after the body falls. I would like to know the truth of this day, of about this. Trained by you. It's a very significant sentence. Tvaya anushishtaha aham etat vidyam. I would like to know this. Anushishtaha, trained by you. Normally about any knowledge we see that you tell me what happens after death. We think that the knower will tell me what happens after death and we will understand, we will know and we will go away. It is not so. Nachiketa's culture, his chitta shuddhi or whatever he had, that gave him the knowledge that this ultimate knowledge of what happens after death, if it is called so, or what is the real existence in man, what is the transcendental existence in man, that cannot just be had by listening to the statements of anybody speaking about it. Anushishtastvayaham. He understood that he has to be trained by Yamaraja in it. Only then the truth will be revealed in him. Otherwise the revelation will not take place. So in the question also we find the seekerhood, the culture of Nachiketa. Yamaraja then goes on telling him that never ask this question, even the devas are confused about it. Forget about human beings. This question is not to be understood by a person like a small boy like you. You take so many other things. He goes on increasing the allurements one after another. He gives things of the world which nobody can ever think of. But Nachiketa was not to be allured by any of those. Then Yamaraja started bringing in things which are not available on the world at all, which are from the heaven. So that if Nachiketa had some attraction for heavenly things or heavenly attainment, he will be lured. But Nachiketa did not fail. He remained firm on his inquiry. He told Yamaraja four sentences which are cardinal in Kathopanishad. But that is not coming from the Acharya Yamaraja. It is coming from the Shishya Nachiketa. Shobhava matyasya yadanta kaitat sarvendriyanam jarayanti tejaha api sarvam jivitamalpameva tavaiva vahas tavan rittya gite. Followed by the first sentence of the next shloka, navittena tarpaniyo manushyo. This is Nachiketa's ultimate statement which proves his fitness of a seeker. Shvaha abhavaha matyasya yadanta kaitat. He antaka, he Yamaraja, whatever you have brought here, they are all shvaha abhavaha. They are all short-lived. Even tomorrow they will not be there. They are all futile. Some days they will be there, some days they will not be there. Not only that, sarvendriyanam jarayanti tejaha. We think that by enjoying these material properties, material objects, we will get joy. But what really happens is Sarvendriyanam jarayanti tejaha. They will only deplete our organs of their brilliance, of their power. The enjoyment will not brighten up our indriyas. They will deplete the power of our indriyas. So why should we look for them? The third statement, apisarvam jivitam alpam eva. You have given me hundreds and thousands and as much as I want of life. You said that as long as you want, you have life. Initially he said 100 years, then went on extending. You said that, but oh Yamaraja, I know, api sarvam jivitam alpam eva. Whatever the lifespan, it is always alpa, it is insufficient for people. Why? Even if a person has lived 100 years, he doesn't want to die. Why? A person who has lived for 20 years, he doesn't want to die. Who has lived for another 50 years, he doesn't want to die. Because as long as our lingering for the worldly object, worldly enjoyments are there, we don't want to embrace death or leave this world. Only when we are free of desire, then we are free of the fear of death also. Because anytime the death may come, unless we are free of the desire for enjoying materials of the world, we will not be able to welcome death. So, by increasing the lifespan, you will not be able to satisfy me, satisfy anybody, because on the last day of the life also my desire will remain and I will try to enjoy more even when the last breath is coming. So, is not life insufficient for everybody then? Am I clear? As long as the desires persist, the life remains insufficient, be it 10 years, 20 years, or 100 years, or 1000 years even, until the desires go, the life will never become sufficient for us. We will never be free of the fear of death. Na vittena tarpaniyo manushyo. This is his last statement, that by vitta, by property, by possessiveness, by possession, man can never be satisfied. So, oh Yamaraja, don't try to lure me. I know very well that these material things, whatever you have brought, either from this world or from the other world, they are not going to fulfill me, not going to satisfy me. Tavaiva vahas tava nritya gite. Let all these things, dancers and chariots and whatnot, let all of them remain with you, Yamaraja. I am not interested in them. I am only interested in the knowledge of this transcendental truth. What survives after the body? Actually, to know the truth, Yamaraja, I don't have time, but Yamaraja specifies later on that to know that nobody has to die. If you have to know that about the transcendental existence, you have to know right now. And here, you are already that. You have to know that. There is no question of knowing it after the body falls. So he categorically specifies that atra brahma samashnute yada sarve pramuchyante hridayas yada sarve pramuchyante kamayasya hridishritaha athamatyo amrito bhavati atra brahma samashnute. Only when the kamas, the desires which are called the knots of the heart, because they make us constricted, they create an ego in us which makes us always feel constricted, until they are cut asunder, we will not be able to understand our universal existence. And it has to be known right now, atra brahma samashnute, not after the body falls. This is specified in Mundaka Upanishad also. Vidyate hridayagranthihi chidyante sarva samshayaha kshiyante sarva karmani तस्मिन् दृष्टे परावरे भिद्यते हृदय ग्रंथिः छिद्यन्ते सर्व संशयाः. दे आर सेइंग एक्चुअली इन द स्पिरिचुअलिटी देर आर टू काइंड्स ऑफ फुलफिलमेंट ऑफ मैन. वन इज द इमोशनल फुलफिलमेंट. इमोशनली वी ऑलवेज फील रेस्ट्रिक्टेड, कंस्ट्रिक्टेड, अनफुलफिल्ड. अवर माइंड इज नेवर फुलफिल्ड बिकॉज द माइंड इज स्मिटन विद डिजायर्स. The other lack of fulfillment is with the intelligence, samshayah. The intelligence goes on questioning. We are never sure about the truth. The intelligence is never fulfilled or never poised. The spirituality, as presented in the Upanishads or in our culture, it makes a human being fulfilled in both these senses. It fulfills our mind. There is emotional fulfillment by the effacement of ego, by the purification of the mind, and there is fulfillment of the intelligence also by removing all the doubts that prevail in our mind and intelligence. So samshayaha, they are about the intelligence, that the person must be rid of all doubts. And the bhidyate hriday granthi, they refer to the emotional knots of our heart, those who are caused by the desire. So the Upanishad started with desire and also it concludes with the removal of the desire. So desire is the point here which the Upanishads begs us to attend to. We should not go around and look for so many scriptures. The knowledge of the scriptures, of all the Upanishads, of so many shastras, so many things, it is not necessary. Even a single shloka or a single Upanishad is sufficient, provided we understand the fundamental note and look within ourselves and see what is happening inside. Am I getting constricted or am I getting expanded? Through each action of our own, it has to be practiced every moment. There also in the second chapter, this Kathopanishad says that don't say that it is depending on your destiny. The time has not come for me to practice spirituality. The God has not willed. There is nothing like that. It is entirely resting on you. The world comes to you with Shreya and Preyaha, pleasurable and the auspicious things. You have to decide which you would like to take. Either you have to choose the preyaha, the pleasurable, which is immediately pleasurable, but which will not take you to the auspicious goal. Or you have to choose the shreyaha, that which may not be immediately pleasurable, but which will take me to the ultimate auspicious goal. It is for us to discriminate each moment of life, that am I looking for preyaha? Or am I looking for Shreyaha? Am I choosing Shreyaha always in preference to Preyaha? That we have to decide. The whole responsibility rests on us. That is what Kathopanishad emphasizes again and again. I thought of relating it to Bhagavata, but there's no time. But a little I will say. I don't know Bhagavata at all. Our Swamiji and Ma Gurupriya, they read from Bhagavata recite, and Ma had been reading out the stories from Bhagavata wherever they are interesting. So I have only been listening to that and shedding tears. But I don't know Bhagavata at all. But when this lecture was, I am not a speaker also. I never wanted to speak in an audience like this. But when Vijay Kumarji and finally our Swamiji said that, well, why don't you speak on Kathopanishad? We take a class on Kathopanishad in our ashram. So why don't you speak on Kathopanishad? I said, okay, we will speak. But by nature, I am not a speaker. I don't have the aptitude to speak in a large audience also. But when this occasion came, I thought that it is a Bhagavata satram, so I should relate it to Bhagavata also. And immediately I opened the last page of Bhagavata. That is Dvadasha Skandha, Trayodasha, adhyayaha, that to the end shlokas. And I found that whatever is spoken of in Bhagavad, in Kathopanishad or any Upanishad, so to say, it is simply that there is no difference. And Bhagavata is spoken of as the sara of Upanishad. There is no difference at all. So, 2-3 shlokas I was thinking, that one which we had our the Prarthana Sangeet the first day. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsyam Ekam Amalam Jnanam Param Giyate. Paramahamsam Ekam Amalam Jnanam Param Giyate. What is this Paramahamsa? Hamsa is our Atma. And who is a Paramahamsa? One, a person who has known that his Atma is everybody's Atma, and that is the Brahman. That is the same thing as the Upanishad calls Brahmatmaikatva Bodha. A person who has attained this Brahmatmaikatva Bodha is called a Paramahamsa. So Bhagavata speaks about the Paramahamsyam Ekam Amalam Jnanam Param Giyate. The jnana which is advaya, which is pure, and which is carried by the Paramahamsa, as I started my talk with that, the living knowledge. Who carries the knowledge? The Paramahamsas, they carry the knowledge. They are the living truth. They are the living Upanishads. Tatra jnana viraga bhakti sahitam naishkarmyam avishkritam. Naishkarmyam avishkritam. I was amazed to see the words. I have heard about this shloka so many times, but because I have to talk, I thought about it. Normally we don't need it. So I thought about it. What is this avishkritam? Avihi means avihi prakasha. The real avihi is our consciousness. Avihi kritam. So it is not a naishkarmya of the idlers, that I don't do any work. Not at all. Through the jnana viraga bhakti sahitam, through the practice of jnana, vairagya and bhakti, what happens is that we discover the naishkarmya, that I don't have to do anything, I am not doing anything, I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer. There lies the naishkarmya. Naishkarmya is not sitting idle, doing nothing. That is not naishkarmya. Naishkarmyam avishkritam. Such a language I have not found in the Upanishad. This word, that naishkarmyam avishkritam, this touched me very much. Then I went back, I went ahead. The next shloka says, kasmayena vibhasito yamatulo jnana pradipah pura. Yena vibhasitaha ayam atulaha jnana pradipah pura. They are talking about the Bhagavata. That is again not the Bhagavata book. It is the knowledge, the truth. This verse ends with Satyam Param Dhimahi Tat Chuddham Vimalam Vishokam Amritam Satyam Param Dhimahi Tat Chuddham Vimalam Vishokam Amritam Satyam Param Dhimahi. That Satya has been transmitted from Brahma to Narada, from the truth itself to Brahma, from Brahma to Narada, from Narada to one after another, finally from Shukadeva to Parikshit. That Satyam, in taking the different rupas in different times, Satyam remains the same Satyam living in the Mahatmas. Once it lived in Narada, once it lived in Shuka, once it lived in Vyasadeva, they have been representing, embodying this truth in different generations, in different kala, and propagating this Brahma Vidya, the truth. That Satyam Param Dhimahi. I meditate on that Satya. A little before that, in the 6 verses before that, it says, Sarva Vedanta Saram Yat Brahmatmaikatva Lakshanam. So the word Brahmatmaikatva is also there. Sarva Vedanta Saram Yat, about Bhagavata it is saying, which is the Sarva Vedanta Sara and Brahmatmaikatva Lakshanam. So I will conclude. I wanted to speak many things, but I think it is okay. The fundamental point I wanted to emphasize, that has been done more or less. Om Sahana Vavatu. You can follow me. Om Sahana Vavatu. Sahanau Bhunaktu. Sahaviriyam Karavavahai. Tejasvinavadhitamastu. Ma vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.